Vectis Radio, FM 104.6, the heart of the island's community.
It's that time of the afternoon. I have to introduce to you a Scottish musician, singer, songwriter, producer, had much success between the 1970s and 1980s, frontman of Ultravox. I'm going to have to introduce you this afternoon to Vectis Radio, Midjor. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, buddy. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. I've got to be honest, a little bit nervous.
Nervous?
A little bit nervous. You are an absolute legend, sir.
I'm a pussycat.
Oh, are you? You're an absolute. That's made me feel a little bit better, so thank you very, very much. Now, listen, you're coming to the Isle of Wight on May the 5th.
Yep.
It's a Sunday, which is a great day for many people, and it's a bank holiday weekend, I believe, as well. So no excuse not to go out to the theatre on May the 5th, to Medina Theatre, in fact, where you're going to be doing a great, great show, a show that you put together around about 25 years ago, sort of a Q&A. Would you all present the theatre show with Q&A, which is brilliant?
Well, it's something that, yeah, as you say, I kind of tried this a while back, totally alone on stage, and taking questions from the audience, and that kind of dictates what songs you're going to play depending on what the question is and what the answer is, and it takes you back to a specific time or a specific moment, and you play something that's relevant to it if you can. And I stupidly thought it'd be a great idea to do it again 25 years later.
Yeah.
Because I think with the advent of the internet and social media and all of that stuff, people feel much more connected to you than they ever did before. So it's kind of an extension of that. People can tweet their questions to me or write them on bits of card if they're not particularly comfortable doing that.
Oh, brilliant.
And the process is quite simple. I mean, I'm on stage with two other musicians, two multi-instrumentalist musicians, and they tend to do an awful lot of sitting around while I talk, while the audience asks questions. And it's an almost impossible thing to rehearse because I've no idea what we're going to play. So It really is flying by the seat of the pants, and it's whites of their eyes and all of that, rabbit in the headlights, all of those analogies, all of those things, and it's a real honest to goodness, you know, stand up and perform thing.
Brilliant. I'm really looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a cracking evening, and thank you for coming to the Isle of Wight. It's awesome.
We love the island. It's great. We were in the Medina a couple of years ago, and it was an absolute joy. It always is. You know?
Yeah, it's one of those theatres, actually. I went over there last week to watch The Legends of the Moody Blues with Mick Wilson from 10cc and Gordy Marshall, the drummer from the original Moody Blues, and they actually said it was first time they'd been there, an amazing theatre. You look up, don't you? And I went and introduced them on stage, and the lights went down, and the main lights gone. I couldn't see a thing, so I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you do it. I could not see a thing. I couldn't even see the whites of people's eyes. I didn't know what to do. I couldn't see a thing.
But, well, hopefully I'll be able to see some people. They'd see who's asking the questions, at least.
Well, that's very true. Yeah, they put the house lights up. I'm sure. So. For people that don't know, and they should be ashamed of themselves if they don't know, you've done so, so much. You co-wrote Do They Know It's Christmas in 1984, organised Band Aid, of course, with Sir Bob Geldof and Live Aid. You're trustees of charities. You serve as an ambassador for Save the Children. The list goes on. You have done so much in your time.
Well, you know, all of those things you mentioned were never on my list. You don't plan things.
No.
You know, sometimes things happen, and you find yourself in scenarios that not of your instigation. And sometimes that can be great, and sometimes that can be distracting, I should say.
Yeah.
So I've been incredibly fortunate that I've managed to sustain a career in an industry that I absolutely love. You know, I'm a musician first and foremost. And of course that takes you into weird and wonderful worlds. I've kind of delved in and out of all of those things. So it's a rich past, I think you'd call that.
Yeah, a friend of mine, Keith the Trucker, who listens in a hell of a lot, and when I started popping on Facebook that you were coming on the show and what have you, he texted me and he said, "Oh, don't forget to include the bands of Silk, Thin Lizzy, Rich Kids, Visage. You were a part of all of that."
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, again, you don't intend to sit down and think, okay, well, in 3 years' time I'll do this, and then in 5 years after that I will do this, and then this will happen, and because it just doesn't work. If you wrote my career down in kind of chronological order, all the things that have happened, and you try to sell it to Hollywood as a movie script, they wouldn't believe
it. They wouldn't,
you know,
no.
It just because it's so ridiculous, you know, that all of this stuff could happen to one person. So I'm an incredibly lucky guy.
You certainly are. When I was researching you, I said exactly that. I said, what an incredible guy. You know, you've just done everything. And you rightly said there, you know, you never planned maybe to do all of what you've done. Maybe you know, it sort of fell into your lap, or you've just been fortunate enough to be able to be doing, you know, to be doing
this. Well, you know, I have a lot of interests. You know, I when I started out and was allowed to produce music that I wanted to produce, you know, I was allowed into a recording studio to produce music that resonated with me. I wanted to do more of that. So I'm a worker. You know, I work a lot. And those things lead to other successes. So when you achieve commercial success with your own music, other people want you to produce for them or direct videos for them,
yeah.
Or, you know, design artwork or work on, you know, stage sets and graphics and imagery and photographs, all of that stuff. So I've been very lucky that music has given me this platform, this jumping board, you know, to go off into other worlds.
And it's great that you're still out there. And like we say, Medina Theatre, the 5th of May, 01983 823 884 is the number. Or you can contact www.medinatheatre.co.uk/tickets and you can book your tickets. Now, I do know that they are selling rather well. So, you know, to come and see a legend like yourself, you know, and you've got to get your tickets like now. So 01983 823 884, get in contact Duncan and the co and Leanne up at the box office there, and I'm sure they will get you a seat.
Fantastic.
But there's so much more to you, Midge, as well. And I actually forgot that you were sort of involved with the Top of the Pops theme tune as well, weren't you?
I was, and again, that's a classic example of stuff happening. You know, I was touring in America. My first time in America, I toured with Thin Lizzy. Although I'd just joined Ultravox, Thin Lizzy were looking for a new guitar player, and they asked me if I would come and finish the tour for them while they found this mythical guitar player. And during the tour, a couple of tours I did with them. We used to jam a little piece of music at sound checks, and that piece of music turned into a song for one of Philip Lynott's, I think his first solo album. And we worked on it, and it became a song called Yellow Pearl, which Top of the Pops absolutely loved. Yeah. So they asked me if I would do a remix of the song, put some drums on it, do a whole thing, and it became the Top of the Pops theme for 3 or 4 years.
It did. Yeah.
So it was, it's one of those things that people, when they recognize it, they go, I know the song, but I didn't know you had anything to do with it at all.
Nor did I until I did the research, you see. So I thought, oh, blimey, God, you would have. There'd be a question that I would ask over at Medina Theatre, and my question would be, to you, purely was, what goes through your mind when a radio presenter puts you on hold and say Vienna was playing there? So what's going through your mind? Is it, oh, I've heard this so many times before, or what goes through your mind when you hear a classic like that?
Well, it's strangely that I was singing slightly flat, that I could still hear a very strong Scottish accent, cool, empty silence when I sang that line. It's weird. I was listening to the mix. I was listening to the balance of it.
Yeah.
And remembering back to what it was we actually did when we were doing it. Because you have to remember that song was recorded with incredibly basic technology.
Of course.
You know, it was very limited technology. And it was all to do with your imagination rather than the skills you had or the equipment that you had at your fingertips.
Yeah.
And it was a classic example of four people coming together and creating something that was unique. And in any element of that song, if you take it out of the picture, the whole thing falls apart. So the bass part or the drum part or the keyboard part or the vocals. And you take any of those elements out and it's not Vienna. It just doesn't work. Mm-hmm. And all of those ideas and those inputs came from the individuals within Ultravox. So I was very lucky to be in a band that talented at the time.
Fantastic. That would be my question on that night. So that would be my question to you.
No, you don't have to ask.
Have to ask it now, do I? But many, many other hits that you've had, Midge. Dancing with Tears in My Eyes. Then there was No Regrets as well. Of course, there'll be a song that we're going to play out with shortly as well. But Fade to Grey was another one that you've got your name to. So, so many. It's difficult to have a favourite or one that you like. Is there one that you'd like to perform?
I tend to favour the ones that got away, the songs that most people don't know because they didn't fit the format to be played on radio, or they didn't fit what the current cool genre was. You know, it wasn't a dance track, or it wasn't remixed by a DJ or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And sometimes the ones that got away are the ones that you don't hear all the time. So therefore, for me, as the creator of them, the writer of them, or the producer, it's lovely to hear those things on the odd occasion. I never listen to my own material. I only listen to it if I have to reference the songs. If I'm going out on tour, I have to relearn the songs because I've kind of forgotten them. Right. I've written quite a few.
Yeah,
I never listen to my own stuff, so I tend to have a soft spot for the ones that got away.
I see. Yeah, why not? Yeah, fair play. Is there anybody that you would like to have collaborated with and never got the chance to, or?
No, again, I've been stupidly fortunate. Yeah. I played guitar one-on-one with Eric Clapton. Mm. I've, you know, done a duet with Kate Bush. I've been on stage with Peter Gabriel. You know, all the people I respect, admire.
Yeah.
You know, there's been a reciprocal feeling, so I've been allowed into their camps, have been allowed to, you know, work with them. And that's just fantastic. There are many people out there that you think, oh, wouldn't it be great to, you know, to collaborate on something with these people, or, you know, this individual.
Yeah, Kate Bush, what a fantastic.
Yeah, no, fantastic. Oh, wow. I mean, what a wish list, you know.
Yeah, ticked. Yeah.
But it has to be reciprocal, and it has to be the right moment in time for everyone concerned. Otherwise, you know the type of duets and you know, collaboration that I'm talking about, where
sure.
you get the impression where that it's two record labels putting two big artists together to make one song. They probably never met. They probably weren't in the same studio,
yeah.
And it's a financial thing. You know, the collaborations I've done have been absolutely pure and genuine.
Yeah, you're an incredible guy. You've done so, so much, and I know people are just going to love you at Medina Theatre in May. Brilliant that you're coming back and doing this for us. And I know you are an extremely busy guy. Your press told me that you are very busy, and I fully respect that. I have a song, Midge, that means a little bit to me, and I just wondered in a few minutes if you would introduce that song to us as we sort of play out. But you are at Medina Theatre on the 5th of May. You're an absolute legend. I said to my little co-presenter over there, Ethan, I said, like, I'm really nervous about this one because in my eyes, I've grown up knowing all with your music, and so yeah, you're a great icon, and everything that you've done just shows that all the support and all the fans that you have, you well deserve.
Well, thank you very much. It's very kind of you to say.
Yeah, no, and I mean that. And people have messaged me, and people I work with, and I said, "Oh, you've got Majora on your show," and I said, "I am really nervous about it," but. Yeah,
there's nothing to be nervous about.
I know. It's weird, isn't it? It's a really weird one, but it has been an absolute pleasure to have you here on Vectis Radio this afternoon, and we are really looking forward to you coming over to Medina Theatre on the 5th of May. So, yeah, brilliant. What about festival-wise? You doing any much festival thing?
A lot of festivals during the summer. There seems to be an awful lot of resurgence and an interest in music from the 80s.
Yeah.
So there tends to be a lot of 80s festivals throughout the summer, not just in the UK, but throughout Europe.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's coming up quite soon. And then I've got a big tour at the end of the year where I'm going to go out with my band Electronica and play the entire Vienna album and a lot of the first Visage album, which I wrote and produced as well, co-wrote and produced. So I've got a busy year.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, good on you, and great on you for still being out there and still doing what Major does best. So we thank you very much for that. And I'm going to let you go now, but if you would just do me that one favour of introducing this next song for me, that'd be awesome.
Absolutely. I know this song meant something to your brother, so I'm very honoured to play this now. It's my number one record, If I Was.
Vectis Radio, FM 104.6, Isle of Wight's community station.